We're in the middle of Torah Chof Ches in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Morans, it's page 91, the right-hand column, about two-thirds way down, in the beginning of the line where it says, V'shamanu mipiv hakodosh. The line begins with the words, V'shamanu mipiv hakodosh. Page 91. So far, we had one shiur on this chapter in Likutei Moran. We'll give a review of what the foundation was. And tonight, in this shiur, Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss a part of the writings of the Arizal, where the Arizal explains the secret kavonos, what a person's supposed to think about when they say the Korban Tomid, the parsha, the Korban Tomid in the morning, and what it accomplishes. And Rabbeinu Zal is going to weave a connection between the shiur that he gave plus this explanation from the writings of the Arizal. So far, Rabbeinu Zal began speaking about certain people that insult and disgrace those that have true fear of Hashem. They speak out against them in an insulting way. And Rabbeinu Zal says what enables them to do this is because they receive their Torah from a bad place. They receive their Torah from Talmidei Chachomim, Shedin Yehudoin. And this is a term that Rabbeinu Zal took from the Zohar HaKadosh, where the Zohar HaKadosh mentions that just as there is Torah that comes from a source of purity, so too, lahavdil, there is a concept of a Torah that comes from an impure place. Among the Shedim, the Zohar HaKadosh says there are some that are all bad, that represent Klipa Tumah completely, and there are some that aren't all bad, but yet there's a combination of good and bad, and the Torah that comes from there is dangerous. It's very easy for a person to make a mistake and learn and come out with the wrong impression. And Rabbeinu Zal says these people who we see at times who are lamdim, they're supposedly learned, especially in Torah Shebal Peh, and yet they speak out in an insulting way against tzaddikim. Rabbeinu Zal says it's because they get their limudim from this place. And Rabbeinu Zal used the term Dalid Alfin, four Alephs. He quoted Shlomo HaMelech, where the pasuk says, "Vayedaber shloishes alofim moshel, vayhi shiroi chamisho voelef." That the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech came from a source that was called four alephs of kedusha, and Rabbeinu Zal says, in opposition to those four alephs of kedusha, there is a concept of these alephs becoming defective, and people drawing their Torah from these defective alephs, where it puts them in this position where they speak out against Yirei Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal said, these people who have this Yira Shemayim, when this happens to them, when they're insulted, their reaction is supposed to be humbleness. To react, bebechinas, v'onoichi toila'as v'lo yish, cherpas odom uvezuyom. That I am a worm and not a man, Dovra Melech says, that's my reaction to cherpas odom. When people try to disgrace me and insult me, my reaction is I use that as fuel to strengthen myself in humbleness. And Rabbeinu Zal says that as a result of this humbleness, they're zeche to succeed against their enemies, and it strengthens their emunah, and it strengthens their chesed. This is what Rabbeinu Zal discussed. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that in order to... Then Rabbeinu Zal said that this chesed, which is strengthened by this humbleness, in order for... this chesed is what affects a tikkun for these four alephs that are pogum. And Rabbeinu Zal quoted a few psukim to support that. The pasuk vo'oise chesed lo alofim. The chesed is what brings about a tikkun to the alephs. And also... now Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that if a person wants to be zoicha to this chesed, the way to do it is by bringing guests into one's house that are Talmidei Chachomim Tzadikim. Because the Gemara says that if a person has a Talmud Chacham Amiti, a true Talmud Chacham, as a guest in their home, it's as if the person brought the Korban Tomid. The Gemara brings proof from Elisha Hanavi where there's a woman that said, Ish kodosh oiver oleinu tomid, that a holy man always passed through our home. And she was referring to Elisha Hanavi. It says he constantly passed through our house, tomid. The Gemara says, from here we learn out that a person who feeds a Talmud Chacham gets credit as if they brought the Korban tomid. And Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Arizal, who says that the word tomid, Tuf Mem Dalid, when written Chosir, is Bigimatria 4 times Aleph. Aleph, spelled Aleph Lamed Pei, is 111. 4 times 111 is 444. So the Tamid is a Tikkun for the Dalid Alfin. When a person takes guests into his home who are Tamidei Chachamim Amitim, the Gemara says it's as if they brought a Korban Tamid. So that brings about a Tikkun for these Dalid Alfin. And then Rabbeinu Zal went on to discuss, to connect that to the interchange between Rabbi Shua ben Chananya and the 70 wise men of Athens. They had a discussion where they said to him, build us a house in midair, between heaven and earth. So the Gemara says he said a name of Hashem, the Shema Meforish, and he flew up into the air, where he was suspended, Bein Shamayim Veretz. So he said to them, okay, fine, now that I'm here, bring up to me bricks and cement and I'll build you a house. So they said, can anybody bring up bricks and cement all the way up there? So he answered them, can anybody build a house in midair? This was an interchange between them. And Rabbeinu Zal showed how this was referring to the two types of Torah. They wanted to build a Torah in midair, meaning without foundation. The foundation is Yirah Shamayim, humbleness, emuna, all of those things. They wanted to build a bayis. Bayis is chokhmah. B'chokhmah yivne bayis. They wanted to build a bayis in midair without a foundation, and he showed them that that can't be done. That they first have to get rid of the bed inside of them to be zeicha to the proper kind of limud, and then they'll be able to build the proper kind of house, a house that'll have a kiyum. This is in short what we learned last week in a shiur that took an hour. On this, from this, we're going to continue now. And we're going to have some very interesting, deep information related to this. Rav Nosson Zal says now, in the form of an appendix to that shiur, Vishamanu mipiv hakodosh, we heard from Rabbeinu Zal's holy mouth, Shezois ha-Torah merumas bo kol hakavonois shel parshas ha-tomid sho'imrim baboiker. That in this shir, Rabbeinu Zal included in his shir all the secret kavonos that the Arizal discusses, that a Jew who knows, who has knowledge of Kabbalah, etc., is supposed to be thinking at the time that he says the Korban Tomid in the morning. We don't have that knowledge necessarily, or certainly aren't on a level to think those thoughts, but when a Jew says these words, the Pshitus Ubitmimus, we believe that when a Jew says the Parsha of the Korban Tomid in the morning, and they have in mind that I want this to accomplish whatever Hashem knows it's supposed to accomplish, then these things are affected automatically. Naturally, those tzaddikim, those great Tamidei Chachamim who have this wisdom, this knowledge of secrets of Kabbalah, when they think these thoughts, it does it even better. But as far as we on our level, we have to believe, Be'emunah Shleima, that number one, by being attached to tzaddikim, and specifically our tefillah, just as when the Jews built the Beis HaMishkan, not every Jew was involved in the construction. There was one Jew specifically that was in charge of constructing the Mishkan, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pasuk says, Vayoviu HaMishkan El Moshe. They brought all the ingredients to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Zohar HaKadosh says Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who knew the formula, the calculations of how to put it together, how to construct it in such a way that it could contain the light of Hashem in a manner that it could benefit Bnei Yisrael. So too Rabbeinu Zal says, when the Jews daven, when a Jew says words of tefillah, each word of tefillah, whether it be a man, a woman, or a child, each word of tefillah is a brick, or a window, or a pipe in the building up of the Shekhinah. A Jew who thinks that they're qualified to do that on their own, that it's me and Hashem davening period, is most likely mistaken, Rabbeinu Zal says. Because just as during the time of the Mishkan, it wasn't each Jew on his own that built, but rather each Jew gathered ingredients, gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu built it, so too Rabbeinu Zal advised his students that before they would daven, they would say the statement, Hareini mekasher atzmi, l'chol hatzadikim amitim shebedoireinu, that before I begin to daven, I want to attach myself to all the tzaddikim that are living and all tzaddikim of the past, with my intent being that I'm giving my tefillah into their hands. I'm davening to Hashem, no question. But I'm putting them in charge. They know how to put my tefillah together with the tefillahs of all the other Jews and how to build from it a mishkan for Hashem. Because the mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, is actually built from the tefillahs of Bnei Yisrael. That's the most, those are the bricks in the windows. So now Rav Nosson Zal says that Ubir Lanuktsas, Rabbein Azal gave us a little bit of an explanation as to the connection between this shir and what the Arizal discusses, where he talks about the Korban Tomid. Va'ayin bekavonois, take a look in the Sforum of the Arizal, the Shar HaKavonois, the Pri Etz Chaim, where he discusses these things. V'tire, you'll see, v'tovin, and you'll understand, shekol HaKavonois, shel Parsha Satomid, that everything that the Arizal discusses over there related to the parashas, the Korban Tomid, is actually included in Rabbein Azal's words in this chapter. Because it's explained over there in the writings of the Arizal, Shetomid Machnia Klipois Diasir. We know that the Arizal discusses a concept of four basic worlds that Hashem created. There's the world that we live in, we being the humans, the animals, the birds, the Olam HaGashmi as we know it, which the Arizal refers to as the Olam HaAsiya, the world of action, Maisa. The next world is called the Olam HaYetzira, the world of the angels. The third world is called the Olam HaBriya, the world of the throne of Hashem, Kaviyochol. The fourth world is called the Olam HaAtzilus. Atzilus is Miloshen Eitzel, the closest thing possible to Hashem himself, in a sense. The highest level of light possible. And the Arizal says this is mentioned in a posuk. When Hashem says, L'chvoy kol hanikra bishmi u'lechvoydi berosiv yitzartiv afasisiv. Hashem says, everything is for my honor, created. Barosiv, yitzartiv, afasisiv. Why? Why the three words? The Arizal explains that this refers to three different levels of creation. So now, we'll try in short to summarize and to explain for babies like us some of what the Arizal says on this, and we'll tie it back together to Rabbein Azal's chapter. Rabbein Azal says, the Arizal says, V'hinei ba'omrecha, we're reading from the book of the Arizal, just a short paragraph to understand how this plugs in. The Arizal says, V'hinei ba'omrecha tzavas b'nei Yisrael, the parsha, the Korban Tomid, begins with the words, V'aydabar Hashem el Moshe Leimor, tzav es b'nei Yisrael, v'yomarta aleihem, command the Jewish people. The Arizal says, when you say those words, techavein, you should have in mind, ki ato onu mesaknin oylam ha'asiyah, that now we're in the process of fixing this lowest world, called the Olam HaAsiya. Shehu Shem Kel Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Bigimatri Yitzav. This Olam HaAsiya is represented by two names of Hashem. The name of Hashem Kel, which always represents Chesed. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Chesed Kel Kol Hayom. And the second name of Hashem is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which represents Malchus, kingdom. Odon means a melech, a ruler. So these two names of Hashem, which go from Chesed to Malchus, represent the whole set that includes the Olam HaAsiya. Those two names of Hashem, Kel, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, are Bigimatria Tzav. Tzav, which means to command. And the Arizal says, this is what the Zohar HaKadosh says. And also the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes this, that les tzav elo avodah zorah. The Gemara says that the word tzav refers to avodah zorah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin explains, where do we learn out the seven mitzvot b'nei noyach? The seven mitzvot that all nations of the world are obligated to keep. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis, where it says over there, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Ha'odom Lemoir, Hashem instructed Odom Arishon with the following command, and the Gemara dissects every word in that pasuk, and from each word it learns out a different one of the seven mitzvot b'nei noyach. So according to one of the opinions over there in the Gemara, Reb Yitzchok, the Gemara says over there that Vayitzav refers to Avodah Zorah. Why? The Gemara brings two psukim to prove it. there's one pasuk that says, "Soru maher min haderech asher tzivisim." The Jews turned away from the path that I instructed them to go on. And over there, the pasuk's referring to the fact that they turned to idol worship. They turned away from faith in Hashem to idol worship. Note what it says, "Soru min haderech asher tzivisim." Tzav refers to this mitzvah of Avodah Zorah. The Gemara quotes another pasuk in Hosea, where the pasuk says, "Ki hoyil holach achar tzav." Because the Jews followed tzav, therefore they got in trouble. Rashi on the word tzav says, "Tzavois chadoshois shel neviei habal." This means they followed the new commandments of the prophets of the idols. The Mitzudas Tzion says that tzav is miloshin tzoya. Tzoya means excrement, which is one of the nicknames of Avodah Zorah in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Avodah Zorah is metame like tzoya, like nido, like tzoya. It's compared to excrement. So the Arizal says that when a person says that word tzav as Bnei Yisrael, they're supposed to have in mind that this represents the two names of Hashem that are the opposite, the opposing force to idol worship in the world, to lack of emunah in the world. V'ho'inyin, the Arizal says, "Ki ha'klipois asher ba'asiyo heim ro'ois v'koshois ma'oid." The tumah that's found in this world that we exist in is very bad and it's very powerful. V'tzorech l'sorfam bo'esh. And in order to effect a tikkun for them, you have to burn them with fire. Just as when it comes to the laws of kashrus, depending on how treif a keli is, if a keli was used to cook something unkosher in, then in some cases you can kasher it by boiling up water and pouring boiling water on the keli, and that can take out the bad from it, the tumah, the treif. Whereas, if the keli was used directly on the fire with treif, which means it's a more severe type of treif that went into the keli, there, boiling water isn't enough. You have to kasher it with fire, libun. You have to literally take this thing and stick it, shove it in the fire, and the fire has to burn out the ra from it. So too here, the Arizal says that in order to be mesakim, the klipois of the Olam Huasiyah, it takes fire, and that's why in the parsha of the Korban Tomid, it discusses fire. It uses this wording, hi ha'oilo al moikto al mizbeach, that the tomid was an oilas tomid. It was a korban that was burned completely. Nothing left of it. The Kohanim didn't eat of anything of it. The Israelim didn't. The whole thing is burned to a crisp because it symbolizes this completely burning away the klipois of asiyah. Kinizkar b'zoyer HaKodeshom, as the Zoyer HaKodesh explains, V'yan ki achizosom v'yinikosom hi mikdush ha'su asiyo hanikro keil alef dalet nun yud. And since these klipois draw their strength from the holiness that's found in the Olam Ho'asiyo, which is called these two names of Hashem, keil alef dalet nun yud, lochein nikro tzav. This is why Avodah Zorah is given this nickname, Tzav, Tzoya, because it draws from these two names of Hashem of the Olam Ho'asiyah. Next, the Arizal says that it says, Oilas Tomid Ho'asuyo Bahar Sinai. What's Oilas Tomid? The Arizal says, Yechavein ki Oilas Bigimatria Aleph Beis Gimel Yud Tov Tzadik. We know that one of the very famous names of Hashem is the Shem Mem Beis, it's called. The name of Hashem of 42 letters or 42 words. We say this on Friday night before Lecha Doidi, the Ashkenazi custom, where we say, Ona Bechoyach Gedulas Yemincha. That paragraph, Ona Bechoyach, has in it exactly 42 words, and it corresponds to a certain name of Hashem that's made up of 42 letters. Let's take the first, and those 42 words are divided into six sentences of seven words each. I'm sorry, seven sentences of six words each. The first sentence, Ona b'choyach gedulas yemincho tater tzerura. That corresponds, that's sentence number one, corresponding to chesed. The second sentence, kabel rinas amcho sagvenu taharenu noira, corresponds to Gvura, the second Midah of Hashem, and so on and so forth. The seventh sentence, Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchus, Shavosenu Kabel Ushma Tzakosenu Yedea Talumos, corresponds to the Malchus, the seventh Midah of Hashem. So now, the first sentence there corresponds to Chesed, the first one of the seven Midos of Hashem. The first letters of that first sentence are Aleph Beis Gimel Yud Tov Tzadik, which is Bigimatria 506. That's the name of Hashem. That's this name of Hashem. That's the Gematria of the word Oilas. Oilas Tomid, when we say Oilas, we're trying to arouse the Midah of kindness of Hashem, which comes from that first sentence. Why? The Arizal explains, V'noida ki shem zeh bechesed. It's known that this name, Aleph Beis Gimel, Yud Tov Tzadik, corresponds to kindness. Aharon, the Arizal says, Aharon, who's known as the Isha Chesed, Oyev Chesed, V'roidev Chesed, the word Aharon is Bigimatria, Aleph Beis Gimel, Yud Tov Tzadik, because the Nun Sofit, is Bigimatria 700. So Reish plus, mistake. That's 906, which is Shin Kuvov Tzadik Yotov, something else. We're confusing two items. V'hu Midas HaChesed HaMizgale B'chol Boiker. The Arizal says this corresponds to Hashem's attribute of kindness, which is revealed every morning. Every morning, Kaviyochel, Hashem turns on the lights, the sun comes out and everything, that light represents an injection of kindness into the world. Besoid vayashkem Avraham baboiker. As the Pasuk says in Chumash, Avraham woke up in the morning. Avram Avinu is the symbol of chesed, always, isha chesed. So Avram is associated with boiker, morning. Parshas Tomid, which is the beginning of the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdosh, we open up with chesed. We open up with this korban of chesed, oilas tomid, oilas is bigimatria, that first line of onah b'choyach, which corresponds to chesed. V'hu soid al tiri toila'as Yaakov. And this also corresponds to the posuk where Hashem says to the Jews, don't be afraid, my worm Yaakov Avinu, meaning, although you're very small and very tiny, don't worry, I, Hashem, defend you and protect you. The Arizal says, V'yesh kenegdoi klipoi shel toilea, opposing the Jews, opposing this chesed of Hashem, there exists a form of tumah called toilea. Toilea means a worm. Worms are usually treif items, unkosher items, tome items. Shehu mechale hakoil. Worms destroy everything. Termites. Termites take apart a house. Or when worms get into a tree, they eat away at it and they destroy it. They cause it to rot. V'chol boiker uboiker mizgale oisoi toilea hatomei lechalois kol hoilam kuloi. The Arizal says each and every single morning, this tomei worm is aroused. It tries to rise up and destroy the entire world. Because just as the Jewish people are aroused, are awakened every morning and strive to inject kedusha into the world, light into the world, good into the world, so too, in an equal opposite force, in order that there should be free choice in the world, bechira, there has to be this balance. So too, every single day, this toilea rises up to do its thing, to cause rot and spoilage and destruction. And the Arizal says, Al kein Hashem Yisporach berachamov, tzivo lahakriv korban tomid. It's for this reason that Hashem, with His kindness, gave us this commandment of bringing the korban tomid, lehizgaber toilas shebigdusha al toilea shebiklipa, in order to strengthen the right side against the left side, the good against the bad. Kedei shaloi tigbar b'chol boiker, so that it should not get stronger every morning, the tumah, v'yizbatel, and it should become nullified. Now the Arizal continues, again with a point that's going to be tied into this chapter on Likutei Moran. Omnom, however, hatoilea hazeh shebigdusha, Kvar bi'arnu shehu shem alef beis gomel yutov tzadik shehu hachesed shebigvurois. The Arizal says this name of Hashem isn't just chesed, but it's a concept of chesed shebigvura. It's a chesed that has gvura mixed into it also. Lochein nikra toilea, and it's for this reason that there's this connection between chesed and toilea. What color is a toilea usually? Red. Worms are usually reddish. The Arizal says, besoid toilaas shoni. In the Torah, when it talks about red wool, in the Mishkan, they had different colors of wool that were used. Purple wool, red wool. Red wool is called toilaas shoni. So the Kimavur at Slain of a Parshas Truma, where it discusses over there, ki gavan odoim besoid toilaas shoni, because red is this concept of toilaas shoni, lefi shesharoshoi hu gvura. V'alkein nikro Yisrael al shmoi, and therefore the Jewish people are called Toilaas Yaakov, because the Jews aren't supposed to be just softies, just chesed. The Arizal says, Kiderech hat kihem mechalim esa umois, kiderech hat toilaas shemechale umarkiv es eitz hakoshev achozok. Because just as a worm is able to destroy and rot and bring down a large, powerful tree, so too, Bnei Yisrael, part of their avoid in this world is to be machnia and mashpil the Rishoim, the Umay Soilam. Bechinas omnom hu bechinas hachesed shebigvurois, v'zeh soy, the Arizal quotes a certain posuk which he explains referring to that. So note, when we talk about the Korban Tomid, we're not talking about Stam Chesed, we're talking about a Chesed that's plugged into Gvura also. Just as we say in Lamnatzeach, Yan Hashem Yom Tzoro, Bigvurois Yesha Yeminoi, that the Yamin, the right hand, which always represents kindness, Chesed, is cloaked in Gvura. In other words, it has attached to it a strength. Now the Arizal continues, Vida, you should know, ki kol oila hu bechinas leya. That whenever we talk about a korban oila, there are several different types of oila that are mentioned in the Chumash in Parshas Vayikra. Oilas tomid, oilas re'iya, that was brought on Yomim Tovim, other oilos. That korban oila always corresponds to the kedusha of leya. When the Sforim talk about the Shechina, the Spirit of Hashem, there are times when they refer to it on two levels, an upper level and a lower level, the upper level being called Leia, and the lower level being called Rachel. And part of the proof to this is the concept that Rachel, Kever Rachel, is where? It's out in the street. It's at the crossroads between Beis Lechem and Hebron. Rachel is buried out in the open, in the street. That's the expression, Bekivra Saderech, what's the pasuk? Kivra Saderech Lovoy Efrosa. Literally, on the road, out in the open, representing a lower level. Whereas Leia is more hidden. She's buried inside the Ma'ora Samachpela, inside representing a greater degree of hiddenness, which always represents a greater degree of holiness. The holier an item is, the more hidden it is. So that Leia is called Be'iskasya, hidden, an upper level of Kedusha, the upper Shechina. Rachel is the nickname that's used for the lower level of the Shechina, something that's more begoli, more accessible in a sense. Just like we talk about the part of the Torah that's Nigla, the revealed portion of the Torah, which more people have access to, the Halacha. The Arizal says that Halacha is Rosh Tevois, Horiu Lashem Kol Ha'oretz. Give praise to Hashem. Everybody give praise to Hashem. Everybody has access to Halacha. Whereas Kabbalah, the secret part of the Torah, the Arizal says that's Rosh Tevois, Hishtachavu LaHashem Behadras Kodesh. We bow down to Hashem in His innermost palace. Like Hadras Kodesh refers to a high level of Kedusha. Again, more hidden, more reserved and refined, a more limited crowd that has access to that. So now the Arizal says, Oila is the concept of Leia, Shehi ho Elyoina, she represents a higher level of Kedusha, Sheshom ne'echozim kol hadinim hakoshim. That's where the hardest type of din has an achiza. V'lochein hoyobo oila satomid lemate kadinim v'haklipoy sasherbo. And therefore, this is part of the function of this korban tomid, to sweeten the din that's found over there by Leo. Kidei shelo yimshel v'yishloit hatoilea hatomei v'toilea yachsor lo'oilas. That the tomid is what converts, this carbon tomid is what converts the toilea to oilas. It converts the bad item to something good. The item that represents din, redness, toilaas shoni, into oilas, which is a concept of chesed. Question. Don't we usually say that what's on a lower level, the lower level, which is malchus, is more of a concept of din, because the pasuk says, "Ragleho yordoi smoves." The feet of the kedusha, the lowest portion, is associated with death. Sitrach rosoton malhamoves. The answer is din, yes. But when we talk about din kosher, the Zohar Kodesh says, in a certain way, that represents a more difficult type of din. The din of bina versus the din of malchus. Sometimes it's called a din kosher in comparison. Dina Kashi Rafia, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, the Meforshim say represent Dina Bina and Malchus, the two levels, the two types of Din that are found. For now, this should suffice to take us back into the Likutei Moran to see how Rabbeinu Zal explains this in more practical terms that we could apply to ourselves. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Shehem bechinas avoydezora vo'oilas b'gematria Hashem aleph beis gimel yutov tzadik shehu bechesed besoid vayashkem Avraham baboiker v'hu soid al tiri toilas v'yesh kenegda. He's simply quoting. We're reviewing now quickly what we said a little bit more elaborately inside here. V'yesh kenegdoi beklipo toilea asher mechale vo'oichel hakoil. V'alkein tziva shemizborach barachmov lahakriv oilas tomid lehizgaper oilas tomid shebikdusha shehu bechinas toilas Yaakov al hatoilea shebiklipo. V'da ki kol korban oilo hu bechinas leo v'lochein bo oilas tomid kenegdo kidei lamatek dineho kidei shlo yishloit v'yimshul hatoilas hatomei v'toilea yachzor lo oilas v'ze shekosav oilas tomid. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, ki tomid bigimatria dalid alfin shelokachas leia. Here we skipped a piece. The Arizal says, ukimavur etzleinu bikriya shma deyoitzer bekavon asbor shem koid mochuzoy olam voed sheleo loikachas dalid alfin mi dalid shemois ekye shehem bigimatria tof mem dalid. Kemavoyer etzleinu beinyan tsuras dalid shebekesher shel roish. The Gemara says that at one point in time, actually in the Chumash, Parshas Kisisa, right after the Jews worshipped the Egel Hazohov, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Hashem, please let me be zeichet to see you. I want to see the kovoid. Hareini no es kivoidecho. Show me your kovoid. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, impossible. For me to show you my face, you can't see my face and live. So therefore Hashem said to him, V'ro'iso es achoirai, uponai lo yero. You will see, I'll put you in a rock, I'll insert you inside of a rock, and I'll pass by that rock, and once I've gone in front of it, you'll be able to see kaviyochel, the back. There isn't, chas v'shom, this has nothing to do with physical terminology, because there isn't any concept of front or back by Hashem, chas v'shom, or anything like that. This is obviously speaking in spiritual terms. But Hashem said, v'ro'isa es achoirai, uponai lo yero. The Arizal says, v'ro'isa es achoirai, you will see my back. What is the back? The first letters of uponai loy, vov lamed, is bigimatria leo, referring to the Shechina, the upper Shechina. So the Gemara says, what did Hashem show Moshe Rabbeinu? The Kesher Shel Tefillin. When a Jew puts on Tefillin, the Tefillin Shel Roish, one of the most important parts of the Tefillin is that Dalid in back of the head. So the Gemara says, Kaviyochol, Hashem wears Tefillin also, and what Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kesher Dalid of the Tefillin Shel Roish. That's this Dalid, Alfin, that we spoke about. That's the source of Chochma Kaviyochel, that corresponds to Leia. Leia's connection is up there. When we talk about the different names of Hashem that represent the Shechina, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is Malchus, it's Rochel. The name of Hashem that represents Bina, Ekye, Leia, is Ekye. So the name of Hashem, Ekye, Aleph, Hey, Yud, Hey, that name of Hashem has four different ways that it could be spelled. Because the letter Hey can either be, when it's written in its full form, could either be spelled as Hey Aleph, or Hey Hey, or Hey Yud. And the Arizal shows how there are four different combinations. Those four combinations have four Alephs in them. The name Ekye has one Aleph in it. Four combinations means four Alephs. Those four Alephs are this Dalid Kaviyochel in the back of the Tefillin Shel Roish, Kaviyochel of Hashem, which Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the symbol of this upper Shechina, etc., etc. So now the Arizal says, this is the Dalid Alfin, which Leia takes to herself and uses it to affect whatever tikkunim she does. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Kol zeh mevoyor b'pri Yitzchayim shar karbonois perek dalet ayin sham heitev. All of this is explained in the writings of the Arizal over there. Look and you'll see it explained. Now let's show you how Rabbeinu Zal in his shir included all of this in a much more down-to-earth way. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki mevoyor shom, it's explained over there, shah misnagdi, in this chapter on the Likutei Moran earlier, Shahamisnagdim hamecharfim yirei Hashem zenimshach meho alfim hanafulim. That those misnagdim who insult those who have true fear of Hashem, that power comes from the fact that their learning comes from these alfin hanafulim. She'elu ho alfin bigdusha heim bechinas leya. These alephs, when they are bigdusha, when they're where they're supposed to be at, they represent Leia, the upper Shechina, Bina, the source of wisdom. The Etzlom, whereas when they fall into the wrong hands, when they become spoiled, Nifgam, Nasa Mizeh Bebechinas, Hama'at Mikem, Ha'ois Anoshim. Rabbeinu Zal said, there are people who give shiurim where their shiurim bore people, because it's like an exercise of intelligence, it's an exercise, it's a mental exercise, but the person doesn't walk out one iota better than they walked in. There's no tikkun amidos, there's no learning, any limud that's going to be mevi lidei maisa, that's going to inspire the person to be more religious, whether it be ben odom l'chaveroi, ben odom l'mokoim, in both ways. There are people who give pilpulim, where the pilpul just twists and twists, and again, it's a mental exercise, but in certain cases, it leads nowhere. It doesn't lead to improving the person anyway, chas v'shalom. We're not talking about chas v'cholila, those meforshim of kedusha, those tzaddikim who gave pilpula doiraisa, which was in a constructive way, which is attached to mitzvahs, which is attached in a way that's intended to deepen a person's mind in learning to come close to Hashem. But there are certain, even meforshim, with their style of pilpul is a style which leads nowhere. That's what it is. It's a type of limud which a person drays and drays and drays and period. And that's all it results in. It doesn't result in any limud hamevi l'dei maisa. There's no coming out with a bottom line. What's the halacha l'maisa on this subject? Don't know. We're not into halacha. We just learn for the sake of learning, period. And there doesn't exist such an item. There's no such thing in Judaism as a learning that's not supposed to lead to maisa. So Rabbeinu Zal said over there that that type of limud tires people out. The word for tiring is haloi sanoshin miloshin leo. This is the leo nifgam. Kisilu gam elokim. Not only do they tire out the people that listen to their shiurim, but they also tire out Hashem kaviyochel, the pasuk says. Ki'ilu loyo hakodesh baruch hu milazer. Kaviyochel, it's as if Hashem becomes weak from helping these people. Because this isn't a limud that gives Hashem nachas. So the people are expecting that as a result of their limud, Hashem should solve their problems and help them. And kaviyochel, it's as if this limud tires Hashem out from being willing to help them. them. Ki mileya nase etzlam bechinas loya. Because from leya, which is the symbol of the shechina of kedusha, by them it gets pogum, it turns into loya, which is this boredom, this tiredness. Because they get hooked up to the super strict din that's found within Leah. That's where these super powerful klipos of the Olam Ha'asiya are plugged into. This Kael Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is plugged into Bina. Chesed through Malchus is plugged into Leah. And this is what Rabbi Nizal mentioned over there. Rabbi Nizal said, as a result of this, the people see Hashem isn't helping them. They simply lose faith in Hashem. They fall into pigam of emuna, which is a concept of avodah zarah. The Baal Shem Tov says, v'sartem, the moment a person turns a drop away from Hashem, the moment there's a weakening of emuna, that's taking a step towards idol worship. It's one or the other. Either you're totally plugged in this way, the second you turn a little bit off here, you're headed in that other direction. So now Rabbi Nizal says, and Rabbi Nizal said earlier, what's the tikkun for this? These Yirei Hashem, when they're being insulted, how are they supposed to respond? Anochi toila'as v'lo yish. They're supposed to respond with this concept of toilas, a worm. Hainu bechinas toilea digdusha shemachnia toilea deklipa. This is what the Arizal was referring to over there when he said that oilas is oisiois toilea. That this, which means this power, this ability of turning on a toilea digdusha, a humbleness, a person considering themselves as low as a worm, and thereby being machnia, this toilea de klipa, this toilas, that one, this klipa of avodah zarah that wants to destroy everything. Now, this is what Rabbi Nizal mentioned earlier, shehu bechinas Avraham, that this concept of toilea, this humbleness, is a concept of Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu is called Roish Lema'aminim, Rabbi Nizal said. The Pasuk says about him, Vehem in Bashem Bayachshevelo Itztoko. He was the symbol of Emuna. And Rabbi Nizal quoted a Pasuk, Ho Emunim Olai Toilo. That the Ho Emunim, those that were trustworthy, were attached to me. Olai Toilo, using this, connecting the word Toilea with Emuna, with Avram Avinu. So Rav Nosson Zal says now, Ki chein mevoyer sham bekavonas, because that's what the Arizal said over there, She toilea digdusha, that the concept of toilea in holiness, bechinas oilas tomid, hu bechinas chesed, bechinas Avram Avinu. The Arizal showed that the word toilea, tof of lamed ayin, was begimatria, the name of Hashem for kindness, that aleph beis gimel, yud tof tzadik. Which, by the way, side note, these forum say that that Rosh Tevois is Av Yud Gimel Torah Tzfuna. That Av Yud Gimel means Kaviochel Abba is Chochma always, which is Chesed, a concept of Chesed. There's a posuk, Ki Eim Labino Tikra, that the mother represents Bino, which is Din, the father is Chochma, which is an Indian of Chesed in comparison. And this Av Yud Gimel, Kaviyoch Hashem is called the father of the Yud Gimel Midoy Shel Rachmim, and Tov Tzadik represents Torah Tzfuna, the hidden Torah that's found in that super high place of Chesed. Bechinas Avraham, Bechinas Chesed Shebigvura. Rabbi Nizal said over there that this concept of humbleness is the symbol of Avram Avinu, who is the concept of Chesed Shebigvura. Bigvurois yesha yeminoi, as we learned earlier. V'zeh sh'ok kosov ba'toyra. Now, this is what Rabbi Nizal said earlier. Shubachinas bigvurois yesha yeminoi. Hainu bechinas chesed shebigvuro, which the Arizal mentioned. V'zeh sh'kosav shom, and this is what Rabbi Nizal said over there. She'ikr hatikun al yidei she'yachnis urchim tamidei chachomim b'soich beisoi. That how does a person arouse this chesed that's needed to be masakin these dalid alfin? Rabbi Nizal said, the key is by bringing guests into your house that are Talmidei Chachamim Amitiyim. Through that, shenechshav ki'ilu hikriv tmidin. The Gemara says that person gets credit as if they brought the korban tamid. Ki tamid bigimatria dalet alfin, because the word tamid, tof mem dalet, is bigimatria 4 times aleph, aleph lamed pei. Ki ikar hatikun alidei bechinas korban tamid. Because the main tikkun of these dalet alfin is through the bringing of this korban tamid, she'oile dalet alfin, which is bigimatria, the 4 alephs. That's what affects a tikkun for these aleph's. And that's how a Jew is zoicha to this madrega of toilas, of holiness. Not toilea de klipa, but rather toilea de kdusha, the chesed, the aleph beis gimel yud tov tzadik, which is bigamatria toilea. Shehu bechinas oilas tomid, bechinas chesed la'avrohom. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds, ayin ba toiranal, if you'll review this chapter on the Likutei Moran well from the beginning, ubekavonois, and what the Arizal wrote here, heitev, if you'll study it well, the tovin, you'll understand, ech nichlelu kol hakavonois shel parsha satomid ba'toiranal. You'll understand how everything that the Arizal explained about the korban tomid is inserted in this chapter on the Likutei Moran. Ayin heitev, check it out carefully, the tovin ploois, and you'll understand unbelievable things. Very, very deep chidushim. Baruch Hashem. This is this chapter on Likutei Moran as it's presented here. Any questions? Question. The shamir worm, which is mentioned in the Gemara, which was a worm which they put it on stone, the most powerful stone, stone 6 meters thick. They just lined it up, drew a line on it, this thing moved on it, and it split the most powerful stone. Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos in Hilchos Toiloim explains why is it that a Jew is not allowed to eat bugs, toiloim. What's the reason why that's treif? He gives an unbelievable clear explanation, again, based on the Arizal, how a Jew is supposed to be in the middle. Everything about Yiddishkeit, the whole derech of Hashem, is always up the middle. No extreme. Not extreme happy, not extreme sad. A Jew at a wedding puts ashes on the forehead to know that the simcha is not 100%. A Jew builds a new home. One area on the wall has to be left blank, empty, to show we remind ourselves of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. There's no such thing as simcha bishlemus in this world. So too, the opposite. A Jew at a funeral is not allowed to carry on the way the non-Jews used to. Tear their flesh, go to extreme depression, extreme sadness. That's also treif. The derech of a yid is up the middle, always. Chesed and gvur. In other words, always that mix of kindness and harshness, needing both. Rav Nosson Zal explains this is the reason why those items, toiloim and bugs, they represent a certain weakness. They represent a certain level of anivus that's treif. When a person says, I'm nothing, and as a result of that, it leads them into depression, or it leads them into not making anything out of their lives, because if I'm a nobody, then I don't really, not much is expected, Hashem doesn't expect that much of me. That's anovo de klipo, that's treif. And that's what these insects and rodents represent. They represent a weakness, a humbleness that's too humble. And this is why we're instructed to stay away from that. Now the shamir seems to be the opposite. It's something which looks like a worm, but really, this was more powerful. This represents like Dovid HaMelech. The Gemara says Dovid HaMelech, when he would sit and learn, he would appear to be like a worm, you know, that shrivel up into nothing. When he would go out into battle, he was like an atom bomb. You know, he went out powerful as could be, you know, powerful as an oak tree. So the shamir could be represents, you know, the only toilea that's not the symbol of weakness, but rather the opposite, the symbol of strength. So too, certain animals like the chazer and other things that we're not allowed to eat, the reason why we're not allowed to eat them is because they represent chutzpah, an azus. They represent the opposite of weakness, a certain azus that's also too extreme, too dirty, a pig who's not ashamed to walk around with all his filth and smelliness and not bothered by what people think. There are some people that are too much bothered by what people think, and that leads them into depression and, you know, the wrong kind of lowliness. That's the worms and the rodents and insects. There's the opposite, these other animals which we're not permitted to eat because they represent the opposite side of the spectrum. For now, this is this chapter on Likutei Moran. Now, Rav Nosson Zal, you as usual, in the Likutei Moran, many things that are presented seem to be more theoretical, where it's difficult for us to know where does this come into the Shulchan Aruch, where does this come into living the Jewish life. Rav Nosson Zal wrote the Likutei Halachos on this basis, because Rabbeinu Zal told him, you are one who understands the Likutei Moran properly. I want you to take the Likutei Moran and use it as an overlay on the Shulchan Aruch and use these shiurim to explain the Shulchan Aruch with. And Rav Nosson Zal does an unbelievable job. Regarding this chapter on Likutei Moran, there are at least two halachas in Likutei Halachos where he discusses this. One is the topic of Birchas HaMozoim, showing how the four brachos of the Birchas HaMozoim represent this tikkun of these Dalet Alfin. And another place is where he talks about the concept of building a house, the laws of a house, and how the minimum measurement of a Jewish home is Dalet Amos, 4x4. And the concept of a chotzer and the mezuzah, which has on it that large echod, the Dalet of Echod, that oversized Dalet of Echod, all representing the Alfin of Kedusha. Just one item I want to mention in tonight's shiur, maybe next week we'll go into a little more detail, we'll take that up to finish up this chapter in the Likutei Moran. But just to throw in one thing to show you how deep this really is, Rav Nosson Zal quotes a Medrash. The Medrash Rabba says that there are four Rishoim in the history of the world that started with the word Af. Af means also. One is the Nochosh, the snake. When the snake spoke to Chava and he wanted her to eat from the Eitz Hadas, he said that, didn't Hashem also tell you not to touch the tree? And then he pushed her into the tree, which Hashem never said. Then he pushed, and because she said, Hashem said, if we eat from this tree, we're dead. The Nochosh said, didn't he also say not to touch? And if you touch, you'll die. And then he pushed her into the tree. She saw she didn't die. And as a result, she's lost faith. And that's what led to eating from the Eitz Hadas. That word, Af, represents the wisdom of the Nochosh. The Pasuk says in Chumash, V'hanochosh hoyo orum mikol chayas hasodeh, that of all the animals, the snake was the smartest. Chayos means wild animals. But his smarts is a treif smart. It's a smarts that's used against Hashem. He started with the word af, again using chachma, kal v'chomer. If Hashem said not to eat from it, then probably you shouldn't touch it either, just like on Shabbos. You're not allowed to write with a pencil. So the rabbi said a pencil is muktzah. So the nachash was a lamdan also. Hashem said don't eat, it must mean don't touch. And that's how he fadreid her a cup, where she ate from the Eitz Hadas and mess. The next one was the Sar Ha'oifim, when Yosef HaTzadik was thrown into prison. There were two leaders that were in prison with him, the Sar Ha'oifim and the Sar HaMashkim. Both of them had dreams. The Sar HaMashkim had a dream, and Yosef HaTzadik interpreted his dream, and it had a very happy ending. You're going to be taken out of prison, everything's going to be great, you're going to be reinstated. The Sar Ha'oifim heard it, and he said, he dreamed, I dreamed, his interpretation was good, probably mine is good also. He told Yosef HaTzadik his dream, and his dream was the exact opposite. Even though it seemed on the surface similar, the result, the interpretation was the opposite. Death and destruction for him. The Sar Ha'oifim also, when he introduced his dream, he said, Afani b'chalomi, just like he had a dream, I also had a dream. Meaning, he made an invalid assumption that dream, his dream is good, my dream, everything is good, rather than really understanding the distinction between good and bad. The third one was Koirach, this week's Parsha, super enemy of Moshe Rabbeinu, Pikeach. The Gemara says, very smart. What was his smarts? Kal v'chomers. Tzitzis. If I put one string of purple wool, it koshes the tzitzis. So a beggar that's kulay tcheles certainly doesn't need tzitzis. Or a mezuzah on a doorway is enough to make a house pure. If I put wall-to-wall sfarim, naturally I shouldn't need a mezuzah at all. His chachmais, his kal v'chomer, treif, trying to use rationale only in understanding the ways of Hashem, rather than learning what Hashem really wants. He also said, Af lo yeleret zovas chol of devosh. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do this, he didn't fulfill his promise with this or this, and also he's not going to lead us in Teretz Yisrael. Af. Number four was Haman. that when Haman wanted to show off this family, how great he is now, how successful he is, he said, look how big I am. The only one who Esther HaMalka invited to a meal with Ahasuerus is me. He thought that was big. He thought that was for his good. He didn't know she was inviting him to torpedo him, to destroy him. That was how she was going to lift him up, because she knew that the Pasuk says, Lifnei Shever Go'in, that before somebody's going to be smashed, first Hashem lifts him up high. Achar Advorim O'Ele Gidal HaMelech Ahasuerus Es Haman. First Hashem picks him up, so when he falls, it makes a big bang, it splatters.
That's an aliyah lezorach nefilah.
Exactly. So he also said, Af loy hevio Esther HaMalka. Rav Nosazal explains, these four afs represent the four alephs pogum. Because in the aleph, that middle letter, the lamed, represents limud. The lamed represents the limud digdusha within the aleph. The word aleph itself means to teach. Va'a'alefcha chachma. The letter lamed in the middle is always the main part. The middle represents the limud of kedusha. When the lamed is taken out of aleph, you have af, avoydezora, charoin af. The Gemara says, kol shman shavoydezora boilam, charoin af boilam, which is the opposite of chachma digdusha, etc. This is 1/100th of what Rav Nosazal presents in explaining this chapter on Likud Moharan, to show us Hilchas Birchas Hamozoin, Halacha Hey. This is just a droplet where he takes you on a tour through the Torah, showing you different things like this, which when you learn it at first, cute, this one said off, that one said off, this one said baf, that one said... To know that any word that's used in the Torah has very deep meanings. It's not stam that these four pick the same word. And why four? Why not 4.5? Why not 6? Everything measured, calculated, to correspond to the Kiddusha. And it's through this limud, this chokhmas o'emes, that a person's zeicha to get like the inside story behind what's going on in the Torah. Halavai, we should be zeicha to learn and to understand what we're learning and to use it to serve Hashem in a constructive way. Hopefully in the next shiur we'll have a little bit more from the Likutei Halachos to get to understand more tangibly what Rabbeinu Zal is referring to in this term, the Likutei Moharan, for us.